Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Oh, hello, the internet, and welcome to season 261, episode 3 of the Daily Zeitgeist, a production of iHeartRadio. This is a podcast where we take a deep dive into America's shared consciousness. It's Wednesday, It's November 2nd, right? Yep, it's November 2nd. Let me pull up my magical list. And what does that mean? It's National Ohio Day, National Deviled Egg Day, National Broadcast Traffic Professionals Day, and National Stress Awareness Day. Don't be smoking stress, y'all. Only chronic. We all know. Be careful out there. My name is Miles Gray, a.k.a. Hideo Noho, the Lord of Lankershim, and I am pleased to be joined by my very blessed and talented guest co-host straight out of Chicago, Illinois, Mr. Jacques New.
Ooh, just in case we don't daily zeitgeist tonight. Let Jacques make love to your ears for the last time, baby. Do, do, wow. Do. Ooh, that's all I got because I pulled that right out my ass. But as per usual, what up, Negroes? How we doing tonight, today, this afternoon?
Doing great.
Whenever you listening, doing how great. You doing? How we doing? What's up, Miles?
Doing all right. I mean, the takeoff getting killed is definitely a big dark spot today or this morning.
I
did not expect to read that. That was very sad. Yeah. But other than that, you know, the world continues to spin. So yeah, mm-hmm. I can't complain. But you been good? You been all right?
It's been lovely, man. It's been a couple months since I've been back. So it's good to be back. Good to be back in the hot seat.
Good.
I feel good. I found out Takeoff, you know, got murdered earlier today too. And then right before we recorded, something that made me laugh is Ime Udoka is now the Nets head coach, which made me crack up. So
there's a lot going on. A lot going on.
But
we have a lot going on too on this Zoom call, actually, and this podcast recording, because we don't have just one guest. We got two guests who are podcasters in their own right of what I would call probably a first-rate podcast called Locatora Radio, okay? And this is two people from L.A. talking all kinds of stuff, culture, politics, whatever, engaging in the real stuff that's happening. I think the last episode was about conservative, the conservative Latina. Please welcome to the Daily Zeitgeist, Mala Munoz and Diosa Fam!
Hola, hola.
Hey, everyone.
How you
Thanks
doing?
For
How
having
doing?
Us.
Good to have you. Thanks for coming by.
Yeah, good to have y'all.
I would say what's new, but this is the first time we're meeting, so great to meet you. And is there anything new going on with y'all that we should know about? As if we know each other.
I mean, our first big major thing is we are like new to iHeart, to the network. We just signed with the My Cultura Network, which is like the Latinx programming within iHeart. And we're really excited to be part of the family.
Yeah, we've been podcasting since 2016, but to be on this level, to have this kind of game changer has been really exciting. So we're just happy to be here.
Oh, you know, you are, you know, legends in your own right. You've won awards. Yes. People know how good you are. I think it's only probably a matter of time that everybody began to understand that. But yeah, thanks so much for coming on. And OK, so this is something I was going to, before we started, I was like, this is something I've been having arguments about, not with any of y'all specifically, but I asked the two of you, both of you are from L.A., right?
Yes.
What part of L.A. are y'all from?
So I grew up in the San Gabriel Valley, but I live more like in central L.A., mid-city now.
Okay. Okay. 626. Mm-hmm. Checking in. Okay.
Yes, truly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm in the 562. I'm in Southeast L.A.
Okay. Okay. Mm-hmm. There you go. Okay. So now, and Jaquise, I said, you're from Chicago. He said, well, yeah, I've been living here for a minute. This is now, this is a question I have. When you, if you're on vacation, right, and you're meeting, let's say you meet other American people, or you just meet people and they say, oh, hey, okay, cool, where are you from? Do you say where you live or where you're from?
Yeah,
this is a question. What is the right answer there?
Yeah. At this point, I just say L.A. Like, I just got back from having a black ass adventure in Europe for a month last month. So, of course, you know, of course, you get a lot of where are you from? And then you say the States, and or you say California, and then you say Los Angeles. So that was the default. But then, like, if you're worthy enough to have me conversate with you for longer than like 2 minutes and we start talking and, you know, I'll let it come out like, well, I was actually born in Chicago. I'm from Chicago. So. At this point, I've been living in L.A. for over 10 years now. So at this point, it's just easy. It makes no sense for me to say,
okay,
oh, I'm from Chicago.
This is where I get caught up. When someone says, where are you from? I literally hear that as, hey, like, what you like, where are you claiming? Like, where are you from?
Yeah.
Like, not like, where do you reside? Like, I'll be like, nah, man, I'm from the Valley, bro. I'm from the San Fernando Valley. That's where I'm from. But there's people being like, well, it's actually more relevant where you live now. And I'm like, I guess I just interpret that question to be like, where are you from? Like, where do you originate from? And I guess that's where I get caught.
Let me tell y'all something. If y'all worry about me still repping Chi-Town, Chicago, Southside, you ain't got to worry about that. I'm still up here repping the 312 and the 773. You know what I'm saying? So it's just when I'm talking to the white folk from around the way and they want to know, Where are you? They see black folks be like, "Where you from, my nigga?" White people are like, "Where are you living? Where are you living?"
Right.
For those
you
people,
hear it differently. I think
I'm
it's
saying
context
L.A.
Thing.
You know,
yeah,
yeah. It's like, context. Okay.
I feel context. Like it depends on who's asking.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
If they're creepy, if they're creepy, I firmly believe in lying to people about where you live and where you're from.
Hey, girl, where you at? Where you from?
You know?
Right. Okay.
Because also now living in Chicago, you know, being from Chicago and shit. This shit happened to me in L.A. at a karaoke bar. Like, I had a friend from Chicago in. We were talking. And then, of course, it was a white boy. Of course, the conversation turned to, so how about that violence? Like, shut the fuck up. Like, I don't need all that. But if it's a homie, I can tell the person is cool. Like, Miles, you know me well.
Yeah.
Like, there's no shortage of Chicago pride coming from me.
Oh, yeah. So, I know that. You represent all the way. Okay. Oh, yeah. Well, glad to know we got that little question out of our way. But first, before we get to know y'all a little bit better, let's tell the, not guests, the listeners, what they can expect to have in store. So we're going to talk a little bit about this Paul Pelosi attack and how the right wing just continues to like escalate the violence, but also like the really absurd rationalizations around like why it is or is not happening. Then we got to check in with Goop, because they are, you know, Gwyneth Paltrow has dropped her gift guide on us. And I just want to go through a couple of things because, like, I just can't even put myself in the mindset of somebody who looks at this and like, oh, yeah, 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 yeah. Oh, fuck yeah. I need that. Thank God for that. And we might even get to why the new Santa Claus, you know, series might actually be about Donald Trump. And, we'll see about that. But first, we got to ask our guests. And, you know, feel free, whoever wants to answer first. And I don't say this in any particular order. Mala, Diosa, what is something from your search history that's revealing about who you are?
So I went back and looked at what's the last thing that I Googled. The last thing that I Googled is where to watch Spy Kids. Because last night I wanted to watch a movie and Spy Kids is a banger and it's all-star cast. So that's me.
Yeah.
Wait, so like what about the film? Like just why is it so seminal for you?
It's a seminal film because it's hilarious.
Top tier. Cult classic.
And I mean, Antonio Banderas, Danny Trejo, Cheech Marin, it's like vaguely Mexican, you know?
There's like some Latino-ness in it.
Yeah.
Right.
Junie, like a little boy with all the warts on his fingers.
Alexa Vega?
Yes.
She's like Colombian.
Yeah.
Right. Ooh, she had a moment.
Oh, yeah.
Jaquisa had a crush on I had a crush on her.
You didn't have a crush on her. Yes.
She was fine.
It's funny. Yo, she went to my high school. She was a freshman when I was a senior, I remember. And at the time, everyone was like, yo, that's the girl. And I was like, yo, because at that point, I'm a senior in high school. I'm like, I ain't fucking with no spy kids. You know, like I'm out here doing whatever the fuck I'm doing as like an 18-year-old. And then, but everybody in the school was so excited about her being there. And then I saw it and I was like, oh shit. Okay. So she's on a wave. Okay. Okay, Alexa. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm. Action star. She's like doing stunts and karate and
singing,
yielding weapons. It's a great film. So.
Okay.
You know, all right. So two questions. One, what y'all think about Spy Kids 3D? You know, and two, you know, you Googled it. We need an answer, man. Where can we find Spy Kids?
Oh, yeah. Sorry. Yeah.
You can't leave us hanging on the answer.
You can rent it.
I ended up watching it on HBO Max.
Okay.
You can stream it today on HBO Max. Okay. The trilogy is up there.
Oh, the trilogy. Okay.
The trilogy.
Before it vanishes. Joseph, how about you?
I Googled purity culture. So we're actually producing an episode on purity culture. And is it back? We've kind of noticed a trend that like slut shaming is cool again. So we're producing an episode on purity culture. And like, did it ever leave? Is it back? What does it mean now?
How is it manifesting now from how you guys are observing it?
We've seen like a lot of young women on TikTok like talking about like casual sex is not empowering, you know, dress modestly, do your makeup in a godly way. Like, very like bizarre, but we think it's worth talking about.
There's like tiers, there's levels, because it's like from TikTok to the Supreme Court and Roe v. Wade to Iran to like women getting tickets for wearing tank tops in public. And We're going to share this story on Locatora when we talk about purity culture. But we have a friend, Melina Bobadilla, who's an actress and she's on Twitter. She's on Orange is the New Black and such. And she had an experience on a flight where a young woman in a tank top was like being verbally harassed by a flight attendant who was like telling her that she was dressed inappropriately, that she was dressed too revealing.
She had to cover up and they gave her a sweater.
So our friend Melina said something in defense of this other passenger, this young lady, and they kicked our friend Melina off the flight for saying something. So, you know, we have our sources and examples. You'll have to tune in for more, but that's
taste. Absolutely. No, and I'm not here to be like, okay, now show your work, because I don't believe that. But yeah, absolutely. Like, and I think we are seeing just in general, like this overall swing back to more like quote unquote conservative values, not whatever the Republican Party defines as conservative these days, but more like let's regress. Let's take back some of the liberation that was that we fought for sure.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
What's something that you think is overrated?
I would say direct messages, the DM.
The DMs are dead.
Severely overrated. The creation, the invention of the DM, like really marked the decline of like human communication. It's like strangers should not be able to talk to me. Like, why should strangers be able to talk to me? Like, it would be weird on the street if a stranger just shared their thoughts with me, you know? But like, oh, it's on Instagram, so it's okay. I don't like it. Leave me alone. Do not speak to me.
That's real.
Love this.
What's the worst kind? What's the kind of DM that you absolutely are like, see, this is exactly what I'm talking about? Is there a specific genre? Because I feel like, I'm sure as somebody who's vocal on the internet and a woman of color, I'm sure people have plenty to say, but I don't want to jump in and assume anything, but what's the worst kind of DM that you get or you hate getting?
Oh, there's so many. There's so many to hate. But I think, obviously, men are the worst. Men are the worst. There are some DM dwellers that just live there, you know?
Yeah.
And one time, I was roller skating in Venice Beach.
Oh, yeah.
I was roller skating in Venice Beach doing my thing. 9 hours later, I get a direct message from some guy who had taken a picture of me while I was skating. I could tell it was a screenshot of a video, actually, that he had taken of me. And he sent it to me via DM. And he wrote me something really gross that I'm not going to share on the air. But that would be the worst kind, I think, of all the kinds. Thirst. But there's so many.
Yeah, just thirsty dogs.
That's fucking terrible. So thirsty. I know. People are so thirsty and gross. Also, DMs have made it too easy not to think about what you're going to say to people.
Yep.
Yeah.
Right? Because, you know, like, because that shit wouldn't work. Like you said, come up on the street like, hey, what's up, baby girl? Just want you to know I took this video of you and I want you to see this real quick. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, no.
You know?
Yeah, no.
You had, look, boy, them skates was looking good on your ankles, baby girl. Like, you ain't going to say that shit to nobody, right?
Exactly.
You ain't
going
to say that. I mean, maybe you will, but I feel like you
would hear something about it, but yeah.
But you would think about it, you know, but in the DMs, you could just like, quote, shoot your shot, right? And then just see like, all right, is it going to stay on the rim? Is it going to go in? And it's just made it too easy to be a creep. And to be lazy, to just be lazy as hell. I love this take. Love this take. Get out of my DMs.
Yes. Yeah, there's like some things people say online that they'd never say to your face.
Never.
You know? Never. Even like mean shit or creepy shit, like they wouldn't actually say it to you, your face. It's like, say it to my face then.
Yeah. And many a relationship, many a career have been ruined. The screenshot DM combo, like when we think of the history of technology, like that combination has been lethal, has destroyed empires, families.
Oh yeah, 100%. It's more potent than our criminal justice system.
It is.
Quote unquote.
Yeah,
I don't even know. How about you, Diosa? What's something you think is overrated?
Oh my God. Okay. I think that wedding planning is overrated. I think everyone should
get married.
Elope. Maybe.
Are you wedding planning right now?
Someone that I know. That maybe
you're not supposed to talk about. Okay.
Maybe not. Nope. Maybe doing some wedding planning. And I think
man,
we'll when you come from like a Latino family, if you don't invite everybody, you're offending everybody.
It's probably.
You know what I mean? Right. And so I'm like, dang, people should just elope, is what I think. I think wedding planning is overrated.
It's hard. It's hard too, because like, right, generationally, we're in this really weird spot where, you know, like our parents, like people got married in like the 70s or 80s or whatever. They'd be like, yo, man, well, I made it work. Like, we were able to get
because it was fucking $13 to get married back then.
And now, like, it's like the markup is like, oh, you want to rent some tables? Okay, that's like $8. They're like, oh, for a wedding? Oh, that's $82 per table. You're like, it's the same fucking thing.
Exactly.
Like, it's just the context of the rental is different. And now the fucking cost goes up. This is robbery.
The upcharge. Yeah, it's like a million-dollar industry, like multi-million-dollar industry,
right? Yeah, absolutely.
And so absolutely. I think that that's overrated.
So for you, is like the balance more of like, I want to have everyone there, but that's also a huge undertaking to plan something that makes like brings it to the level that I want it to for my, you know, or for whatever wedding, for said wedding, to the point where it's like, I think the easiest, most diplomatic thing is to elope. So my partner and I have our moment where we celebrate the matrimony and nobody has to be like, hey, well, none of us were there. So it's not really like anybody.
Yeah, I think my thing is like, I would rather not deal with like obligation invites. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Which tends to happen where it's like, well, you have to invite your tia and you have to invite so-and-so. And it's like, well, no, I don't have to actually invite anybody, you know?
They're like,
and
right. So I think your cousin got a new boyfriend too.
Right.
You got to invite. They're like, she's 17. She's 17.
Yes,
and
exactly.
It costs money, honey.
Literally. Yeah. I'd rather invite nobody is what I'm thinking.
Elopement sounds more fun too, sexier, you know?
It sounds great. Sounds great. Go get eloped, have your time together. You know what I'm saying? This sounds a beautiful thing. Can I ask this, though? Do we think that, like, if you just say, for instance, because most weddings is just the party. That's what. Right. So, like, if you take away the ceremony and it's just a party, do we think people would have the same offense if they're not invited or anything like that? If it's just a if it's just a party, a celebration, but they didn't actually get to hear the I do's.
Right.
Is that the same thing?
I think people would be less offended, you know.
Which is just, wild
it's just
to
the
me.
Name, right? It's just the name of like, yeah. you know, hypothetically.
It's the name of a wedding.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
I want to see the moment when you kiss right. when you kiss your partner, right?
Right.
I mean, yeah, it's weird.
It's weird.
It got to the point when I was planning my wedding, I was telling my wife, I was like, yo, like, what if we told them we're having a business meeting in our conference room? And we put up graphics like with our last names, like it's a merger, and we do like slick funny. Graphics, and then people are there and they serve food, and then like at the last minute we switch it up on the staff and be like, yo, take it off, rip it off, it's a wedding, and be like, yo, okay, this is a wedding, y'all know what to do, move the chairs, boom, 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 and then you're out. And then, I mean, they'll maybe say it's fraud or whatever, but I could be like, maybe we spontaneously decided to do this at this business merger.
Can you say it's fraud? Can you be like, hey, that was a wedding party. We like, so the fuck what?
No, like at that point, that's performance art. I was like, that's a play.
Yeah. yeah.
Exactly.
Exactly.
I'm like, where are my awards?
Thank you. You know what? We should start calling weddings plays now. Like the yes. actual ceremony is just the scripted part of the
production.
Show.
It might as well be, yeah, for the budget.
And then after
is
the cast party.
Yes.
The wrap party.
The wrap party.
Absolutely.
The wrap party.
Let's do it. We're rebranding weddings. You heard it here first.
Yeah. Exactly. Right. Did you go to the pre-production party? Oh, right. No. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
The rehearsal.
That's the wedding rehearsal. That's the wedding rehearsal. That's the pre-production party. And they can't charge that much. You know what? Thank you.
Boom.
Yeah. I was engaged at one point. I didn't make it down the aisle, but next time, if this happens again, I'm calling my wedding a play.
Yeah.
yeah.
Do it. Will you be my scene partner?
Yeah. Hell yeah.
I mean,
hell
yeah. I'm sure. Did you see the wedding of Chelsea Devantes and Yasser Lester?
Yeah.
Like on Instagram.
Over the top.
You know, y'all know Chelsea Devantes.
I wasn't invited to that shit either.
Yasser Lester is a comedian.
Yeah. And his wife's also a comedian writer. They had the wildest fucking wedding. Based off all the posts, it was like, it's what happens when two creative people are like, man, fuck tradition, man. We're gonna have a fucking good time. They had a fucking Liv Moss room where they're like, yo, you high? Go have some Taco Bell. They had stand-ins for pictures. So if you want for the photo booth, so like they didn't have to waste their time at the photo booth. They hired two lookalikes to be at the photo
booth.
There's all kinds of just fun things. Like
it
was
over the top.
It was an installation.
I love that.
Yeah,
it was an
exactly.
installation. That's amazing.
Yeah. If like Banksy was your wedding planner.
The dress code was outdo us.
Yeah, exactly.
Amazing.
So like that's everybody cool. came and like, you know, they was in nines, dressed
serving.
In nines. It was cool. It was cool.
Absolutely. Okay, let's move on. Mala, Diosa, let's start with you. What's something you think is underrated?
Us? I think we have been historically truly. Underrated.
Go on.
Love that shit.
Us. Yes.
Love
so
it.
I think this is our moment, you mm-hmm. know? We've been mm-hmm. like put on. We've been put on in smaller ways, in great ways. But it's like, you know, when you feel like someone is sleeping on you. Like,
yeah
that's how
sure.
the last 6 years have felt until now.
Until now.
But even
wow.
then. Like, you
yeah.
know.
Yeah. We're gathering our flowers.
Yes.
Yes, exactly. And many are continuing to rain down. And more to follow, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure.
Mm-hmm.
And hell so yeah. is that, and do you feel the same way, Mala? There's nothing underrated like the two of you?
My underrated is sitting in complete silence. I think that is underrated deeply in our world.
Okay, she just goes, okay, I like how, Diosa, so you're like, yeah, man, our podcast, you know, because we get to talking on these microphones and like we're making magic, you know what I mean? And then
yes.
you're like, yeah, you'd be nice, just shutting the fuck up for a little bit. But I know that's not what you mean. But you mean like just the being able to be comfortable and not talking and being able to just sit and ruminate?
Yeah, you know, I've been dating for a long time, and okay. something that I've noticed is that I really appreciate being able to sit in silence with somebody, like, and not having to like fill the air in the space with chatter.
Yeah.
And other than that, just I feel very overstimulated a lot. Like, we're online hardcore, like we're podcasting, digital media, like I'm watching a show and I'm on my phone and I'm on my laptop and I'm switching between 12 different apps. It's like too much. So I really value the pause now. I'm embracing the pause.
Yes.
Love this.
Yes.
Love this. Love both of these underrateds. Everybody, y'all get on these. Y'all get on these two. Y'all get on these two. They about to blow up.
Send them flowers. They already
blowing up, but they blowing up, yo. Be like, I came in, not on the ground floor.
Send flowers of respect or courtship.
I came in on the middle floor. So do that. And also, shut the fuck up, everybody. Just be quiet.
Just once in a while.
Be quiet and appreciate. Be quiet and appreciate.
I think it is a test, though, right? Of someone's just sort of like inner stability, not stability, or like just your wherewithal of like being able to like, I can sit here in silence and my mind won't start racing to the point where I'm like, you better fucking say something. This is getting weird. This is so weird. Now they think you're weird. Like just right, being able to be like, I'm observing. Because you do realize we had that skill, or like pre-smartphone and shit, like motherfuckers would just post. And be like talking, looking at stuff. And now I feel like everywhere you look, everybody has the same posture, looking down at their phone. And it is a little bit.
Yes.
Everybody gonna have hurt necks by the time we 70 and shit and death.
Truly.
I want
to say this point, though, to you all being underrated. Just real quick. I know we got to move on from act one. But
No.
This is a very common feeling as well for creators of color, you know, especially women creators of color too. But just speaking as a person of color within the creative world too, who has done a lot in this business and has done dope shit, you get that feeling like, how much more do I have to do to get the same admiration and adulation that some of our counterparts get who aren't as fucking good as we are? Like, That's not being cocky. That's just being fucking truthful. You know the work.
There's
you
different
in,
bars
you know
that are set at different levels.
There's
for sure.
different bars that are set at different levels, you know. So I think it is it's a very common thing for a lot of us to feel like we're underrated because we know the hard work we put in. We know how fucking good we are. We know how bad some people are who are higher level than we are. Like, let's just be fucking real. We know these things, right? And so when those moments come, like, we don't just knock the door down. We bust that fucking door down and we actually come in and say, now is your turn to see what I've known all along.
Right.
And so for all the Zeit gang out there, I'm telling you, I've said this for many years on this show. I said it when I had my show on iHeart, on all my shows and shit. Like, we don't just need y'all to be like, man, I love these motherfuckers. We also need y'all to be telling people, like, y'all need to watch and listen to these motherfuckers, because this is the next generation. These are the people that are doing the dope shit, because we out here working and deserve it. We've earned it.
Absolutely.
Yes. So,
and I think, that's a hard part. I'm sure, like, any people in marginalized groups, like, you start that imposter syndrome sets in. And, like, I'm sure, like you're saying, you've been on the grind for years and you're like, fuck, man, like, we know this shit is good. But, like, where's the tipping point? And then other times, like you're saying, you see other people get on and that can be disheartening. So I think it's so important, like, to believe in what you do and just to continue to do it, because, you know, like, that's really the formula for success most of the times. Like, sincere desire to succeed at something with a little bit of talent and a lot of luck. But when that luck hits, you're ready for sure.
Oh, yeah. They'll see. They'll all see.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure, you know, a lot of people who, like, listen to our show, you know, are also creators themselves or aspiring to. Any words of wisdom that you would like to, you know, scatter some seeds of wisdom before they turn to the flowers that you will pick up?
I would say literally just keep going. If you keep showing up, I think that's honestly 80% of it, is just continuing to show up and continuing to put your work out there.
Yeah. And I think, like, if you see, like, a void in whatever creative medium outlet you're pursuing, like, that's where you enter. Because that's how we started. We saw a void in the podcasting space back in 2016 for, like, Latina voices, more progressive Latina voices, and all kinds of different things. And we were like, okay, there's our entryway, because we didn't have an audio background. We didn't have a podcasting background, but we made it work and we taught ourselves how to do all of it. And so I would say that for anyone, like, if there's something that you want to see and it's not there, you make it yourself.
Yeah,
absolutely.
And don't, like, be afraid to let your project grow and take on new shapes and, like, expand. So after launching Locatora Radio in 2016, years later, we ended up launching our own production company. So we're Locatora Productions, LLC. And last year, I self-produced and I host a new show on our slate. It's called Marihuanera, a podcast for potheads.
Hey. And
yeah. So if you're a pothead out there, subscribe, listen to Marihuanera, a podcast for potheads. And Diosa actually has a new show that she's working on under our production company as well. So I think that's another thing that I hope our trajectory speaks to is growing and expanding and diversifying and also taking your work seriously, like become an LLC, trademark the name of your show or your product or your idea, you know, like take it seriously and treat it like a business because it could be.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And I'll say this too. People, I give advice to young podcasters, comedians, entertainers all the time. And I tell this to everybody, and it always sounds flippant at first, but I mean it in a very positive way. No idea you have is generally special because it's been done before, generally, right? So what's special about what you want to do is nobody's seen you do it, right? So you are at the middle of everything that you fucking do. So you got to know that. Like a talk show, there's been millions of talk shows, but nobody's seen you have a talk show. Mm-hmm. Smoking weed, a lot of people smoke weed, but nobody's heard you talk about it, right? So you need to know that you are always, and I'm talking to general you are always at the middle of everything. So like, have that confidence in knowing that without me, this shit ain't possible, right? You know, like if you like my content, that means you like me, you like my content, and like, have that confidence.
And stop comparing yourself to other people. Because that is step one of fucking your whole shit up and not honoring the fact that you are actually a unique quantity. Okay.
Exactly.
Let's take a quick break and we'll be right back to talk about fucking news after this. You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course, and Season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island and secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Now I'd like to introduce you to Meaningful Beauty, the famed skincare brand created by iconic supermodel Cindy Crawford. It's her secret to absolutely gorgeous skin. Meaningful Beauty makes powerful and effective skincare simple, and it's loved by millions of women. It's formulated for all ages and all skin tones and types, and it's designed to work as a complete skincare system, leaving your skin feeling soft, smooth, and nourished. I recommend starting with Cindy's full regimen, which contains all five of her best-selling products, including the amazing Youth Activating Melanin
Melon Serum. This next generation serum has the power of melon leaf stem cell technology. It's melon leaf stem cells encapsulated for freshness and released onto the skin to support a visible reduction in the appearance of wrinkles. With thousands of glowing five-star reviews, why not give it a try? Subscribe today and you can get the amazing Meaningful Beauty System for just $49.95. That includes our introductory five-piece system, free gifts, free shipping, and a 60-day money-back guarantee. All of that available at MeaningfulBeauty.com.
And we're back. And if you remember last week, Paul Pelosi, husband of Nancy Pelosi, Speaker of the House, was attacked by a just deranged right-wing conspiracy follower. You know, sadly, these days, Republican unhinged conspiracy theorists, and those Republican and unhinged conspiracy theorists seem to be synonymous in a lot of recent days. So when news first emerged about this attack, I just want to talk about how just generally the like sort of the flow of information has been about this. When the news first came out and how he was in the ICU with a head injury from being attacked with a hammer, most reasonable people were like, that sounds fucking terrifying that some person just pulled up into their house and is just swinging on people with a hammer, especially someone as, you know, like it, who's, you know, whose partner, whose wife is the Speaker of the House. And clearly that attracts a lot of ire from like right wing extremists. And so once people were like, wow, this is awful, this sounds like a terrible, violent event, it just, you know, like a lot of people then were like, well, what happened? Like, how does someone with like zip ties and a hammer get into the house of someone who's the second in line to the presidency? The first reaction from the Republicans and the right wing media was just to spread like diabolical misinformation, like that Pelosi was somehow involved. He was in some kind of situation with a male sex worker and things went south. And that's what happened. So to completely just use homophobia and just be like, yeah. Well, I mean, that's probably, I mean, who knows? In San Francisco, this guy was in the house, maybe knew him. I don't know what that says about Paul Pelosi. Like a lot of people, I mean, on the right took that fucking line and just went with it, including Elon Musk, who later deleted that shit. And then like the first thing wasn't to say like, wow, this person may have had an imagination that was like forged in the fires of like Fox News and right wing media. That wasn't sort of the first kind of take. I mean, aside from many progressive onlookers who were like, this is clearly an escalation based on how right wing media operates. But the attacker actually debunked all those weird theories when the police were just interviewing him and saying, what's going on? Like, why were you in this house? His plan, and this is really disturbing, so I just want to just say that up front. His plan was to enter the house and interrogate Nancy Pelosi, like bound her, interrogate her. And if she told the truth, he would let her go. Not sure what the truth is. And if she didn't comply, he would basically, as he said, break her kneecaps with the hammer. So she would have to be rolled into the Capitol on a wheelchair to, quote, send a message. And we also found out that he was potentially trying to find a way to lure another individual by having Nancy Pelosi there, like in his custody or whatever. And right now, the main response from Republicans at this point is either to just like laugh it off, like it's the new January 6th, like they're overreacting, or just stay silent.
It's some wild stuff. It reminds me, honestly, like the victim blaming kind of commentary towards Paul Pelosi reminds me of the way that sexual assault victims are spoken about, because I mean, the setup is so okay. So like a man breaks into the house and attacks him, and immediately the victim blaming and like questions about his sexuality and what does it mean about the victim, right? And so it's just interesting to see like the same type of dynamics and language applied here. So it kind of doesn't matter the facts. There's a way to find blame, like in victimization. And it also kind of reminds me of, like, in some ways, like, people with the new Jeffrey Dahmer series making a lot of, like, empathetic and sympathetic remarks about him. Oh, he was troubled, or oh, he was neglected as a kid, or oh, his dad taught him how to embalm animals or whatever. But then you look back at the interviews with the actual Jeffrey Dahmer, and he was very straightforward and matter of fact about, like, I just did it just because there was no deeper meaning. I'm not crazy. It's not my dad's fault. It was me. I wanted to kill these people, you know? And so I think, like, when it comes to white men, like, we just have this way of excusing their violence and finding ways to, like, to make light of it or to come up with reasons for why they do things. When sometimes, like, people just commit acts of violence because they want to hurt people.
Yeah.
So that's kind of what this whole thing sort of has reminded me of. So it's fascinating to see it come down on this wealthy, powerful white man, right, as the victim in this situation.
Right, right. And yes, have that same playbook, like, run on him from, like, the detractors on the right.
It's pretty wild, too, because, you know, we know we don't only excuse white male violence. Television, entertainment, whatever, politicians, they also glorify it and fantasize about it. And we make it like thing of legend, like a serial killer should not be a thing of legend. But also in this specific instance, it's so hypocritical because remember when, like, motherfuckers was going to, like, Kavanaugh's house, however you say his fucking name, Kavanaugh's house and shit. And
yeah.
All the Republicans
eating a steak dinner.
No. Yeah, no one should be standing outside of people's houses.
Right.
And those same motherfuckers, I ain't saying shit about somebody actually going to, going inside, making it in, like, attacking that person's spouse with the plan to attack the actual person. Dead silence. Or, nah, it's not that serious. Or blah, 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 blah. It just convinces me that we are not living in a real simulation because my brain just can't compute sometimes,
I mean,
how these things are possible.
The hypocrisy of the right, though, isn't hypocrisy. You know what I mean? It's all their policy says.
No.
If you a cishet, you know, cishet, Judaic, like, Christian, white person, you're good.
Yeah.
The rules are going to apply to everybody else. See, you could get an abortion. Oh, yeah. You can get an abortion all day. But we want to make it harder for everybody else. And if we do find out that happened, it doesn't matter. Because that's not a standard we're trying to uphold for everybody. It's just a tool to oppress people. And they reveal that every time with their double standards because, no, well, don't interrupt Brett Kavanaugh's steak dinner by getting in his face and telling him that he's a predator and he's actually, like, ushering in this new era of, you know, Christo-fascism in the country. He's like, don't do that and don't go near their house and don't go near his house. Oh, but y'all's house, that's fine. Just don't come near our shit. Don't try and make us don't try and hold us to account. That's a completely different thing. But they just they can't quite cross over into fully embracing their rhetoric, which really means, no, fuck all y'all. Like, it's about this thing that we have here that we're trying to hold on to with our nails blowing off as we, you know, hold on as tightly as we can and harm a millions of people in the process.
But the thing to that is not also... Let's say, you know, what happened to Brett Kavanaugh happened to Nancy Pelosi and Paul, like, where somebody just came and interrupted their fucking, like, dinner, right? And the right didn't say anything. That's hypocrisy. That is hypocrisy, like, at its crux. But that's not what happened. Like, they came and attacked this man and, like, put him in a fucking hospital. Mm-hmm. Like, that's not hypocrisy. That is, I'm okay with that shit. That's beyond hypocrisy, because hypocrisy somewhat requires the levels to be the same. There's levels to this shit.
I'm not trying to equivocate. What I'm saying consistently, it's like a lot of the time, especially in like Democrat, like, you know, liberal media, it's like, you can't believe the hypocrisy. It's like, that's not a weapon to them. Like, that's not that's not a thing that they're going to be like, damn, they called us on our hypocrisy.
Not at
all. That's like, that's calling out hypocrisy. It would maybe shame a reasonable person into being like, oh, wow, I'm being wildly inconsistent and I'm, like, living at a double standard. But again, like, the whole thing is like, look, we're basically, like, mask halfway off racists and we're just trying to keep moving towards this one thing by any means necessary, according to a lot of their policies.
It's fascinating, too, because I think that there's this assumption that if you're wealthy and powerful, that you're, like, completely shielded from, like, violence or extremism. But I mean, like, the Bling Ring, it was an entire group of kids targeting wealthy homes and stealing from them. You know what I mean? And, like, Sharon Tate was, like, killed in her home by you know, Manson and them, and like Megan Thee Stallion was just recently broke, her house was broken into, and Kim K was held, like, you know, in Paris, like, and robbed. Right. And so I think it's just like, also it says something too about when people do target the rich and powerful, because if they cannot protect themselves from extremism, then what does that say about like the little guy and the average person, you know, and our abilities to protect ourselves? And if there's no empathy even for rich, powerful white people, then what happens to us when that violence gets directed to the more vulnerable with fewer resources, who are even more likely to be victim blamed because they're racial or ethnic minorities or women or queer or homeless, what have you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, what happens to us is the police start killing us.
Right. So I get it worries. Like, I think we should all be worried when we see like the rich and powerful being attacked in these ways, because,
right. The escalation in partisan violence, you just it's like, where's the ceiling?
Yeah,
because it keeps going up. And I think to your point, it's like, you don't want it. Like, I don't want to live in a country where I see where this leads and what like how normal shit becomes, because the way the Republicans are reacting to this, my God, I mean, they're completely normalizing it. Yeah. Carrie Lake, who's running for governor in Arizona, was like making jokes at a rally, was like, you know, they want to talk about protecting our schools. You know, Nancy Pelosi, she has protection in D.C., but I guess not so much at her house. And the fucking crowd was like,
I saw that clip. It's awful. It's awful that they're just laughing and making jokes and making light of it.
Yeah. And I think that only continues to only like, you could like further the momentum of people who are on some kind of destructive path based on the media that they're ingesting. Because, I mean, like, you just look at what the takes are, right? Like, Donald Trump, he went on Payless Twitter and he was like, you know, looks, I heard that the glass was broken from the inside and not from the outside. And it looks like more of a breakout than a break in. Lies. Fucking lies. Yeah. Just fucking bullshit. Like, again, because the first thing was like, maybe this guy was a sex worker. I don't know. Even though this is in like, now fully released materials from his interview that he's saying, nah, I was there because Nancy Pelosi's the ringleader.
Right. Right.
And I had to take her to task. And then you have other people saying, well, he's from Berkeley, so he can't be right wing. And he was naked once. He was a nudist. You know, that's not Republican stuff. But they completely ignore all of his social media posts that look like the inside of Marjorie Taylor Greene's brain.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, it's the entire party, and like the ideology just runs on this self-victimization and like constant mental gymnastics for their base to just keep kicking the can of like self-awareness down the road. They're like, don't try to do some kind of analysis on what's going on. Just know, here's a talking point. Here's a thought killing cliche to keep you moving forward and not looking at whatever you've been doing. And all their programming is meant to either push people towards dehumanizing other groups and they're like stochastic terrorist shit, or convincing their viewers that like their dehumanizing behaviors like aren't actually that at all.
Yeah, it's a lot they of dog whistle, like dog whistle stuff, too, you know, because I feel like Trump and friends and Redditors and all these fucking fascist and right wing groups online and IRL, like, they are like heavily armed and they're like small militias, and they like pay very close attention to what everybody is saying. And so I think that like Trump and friends know this, and they know exactly who they're talking to and what their base is capable of. And it's like they're responding to the call, you know, is what I think is going on. Mm-hmm. And just like with that guy confessing to why he went to Nancy Pelosi's house, that it was a targeted attack, the facts don't really matter as much as like the narrative and what we would like to believe about it, which I think like a lot of people are making a lot of comparisons to sort of like, you know, the frog in hot water sort of analogy, and the water keeps getting hotter and the frog doesn't notice. And that's sort of where we are in a lot of ways with racial violence. A lot of folks saying things like, well, you know, this is exactly how it felt and what it looked like in Nazi Germany when the Nazis were warming up and getting started. Right.
Right.
Yeah.
And it used to be a thing where like, oh, those like, if the being like, man, these Nazis is wild, man, got to keep an eye on them.
And then so it's like, yeah, man, them Nazis are doing some shit over there. To, hey, man, so the Nazis are running everything now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Slippery slope.
Yeah. It is a slippery slope. Yeah, because, I mean, if one, like, facts don't matter, and then history, there's, like, a revisionism of history happening, and mm-hmm. we're, you know, schools are banning books, like, districts are banning books, the Holocaust can't even be taught in certain areas, you know, and so it's not all happening in a vacuum, it's all related.
Right, exactly, in a push to have a less, like, a population and a, you know, populace that isn't really thinking critically.
Right.
And I mean, you couple that with like the lack of resources and support people have. Like there are studies that show like psychologically, if you feel increasingly out of control of your life and your ability to support yourself, you will begin to be more open to ideologies that are about like extreme rule setting.
Right.
Because just due to the chaos of feeling out of control and like it's you can see the pieces there. And like the one thing that like all activists and people that aren't like big D Democrats are like, we have to spend money on supporting people. Yeah. Like, fuck all these tax cuts. Like, we need to support people where they're at. If you are hungry and shit, that the amount of mental chaos that kind of instability causes is the reason why you're going to see people splinter off and become more extreme because they're going to think, well, fuck, man, I live in such a cruel fucking place. Maybe this person, although they're cruel to people that, you know, I don't really know, but at least I have some needs met. And that's what I think is really dangerous. I just want to play this clip of Tucker Carlson really quick. I know because he's out here really on the heels of this, right? When we've heard that the attacker himself is like, no, I don't know what they're like. This is what happened. He's now spinning this to say how everyone's describing this attack isn't that terrible and hate speech isn't real.
What is hate speech, by the way? All of a sudden, everyone in the media has, sort of without explaining why, agreed that there's this thing called hate speech that's real and probably actionable. They can find a $1 billion judgment against you if you commit hate speech. But just to remind everyone watching, there's no such thing as hate speech. Hate speech is speech people hate, usually the people in power. The truth is, all speech, except speech that encourages people to imminent illegal action, like, go shoot that guy. Short of that, there's no hate speech. All of it's allowed under the United States Constitution, which is our final hope.
So that's him telling all the Fox News viewers, there's no such thing as hate speech. That's the road they're going down right now, or at least trying to normalize or completely blow up the concept of what hate speech is. Because I think you do know, because it's like when people get like, they're like, they said white guy on Twitch, ban them. It's like, okay, well, then what was the problem there? What was that? Tell me something. Or is that's not like, what are the levels here? And I'm not trying to like say that's a racial slur, but they clearly have their antennas up for things that are offensive to them. And I think hate speech, his whole thing is he's trying to basically say like, unless you're inciting violence directly, then there's no such thing as hate speech. And I think this is like this game that conservatives are playing with. By like not understanding what stochastic terrorism is, like that if you're like they're saying, look, I'm not saying kill all X group of people. I'm just saying they're not people and they're demons over and over and over and over and over again to the point that it will take people's perception of them and shift it fully into this is a non-human. So this person actually doesn't deserve the same rights as I do because over a steady diet of this repetition of this idea, I've now believed this person is not deserving of human dignity. And this typically results in violence. It's not always saying this always happens, but that's the process to get there. Yeah. And I think that's what they're really trying to avoid.
Yeah.
A reckoning with.
I'm so tired of talking about Republicans and conservatives and like, you know, I'm so tired of it. But the sad thing is, you know, and I know we all are. But the flip side to that is, well, if we don't talk about it, we let this kind of hate and these kind of values just go unchecked, right? And that has kept me going for a very long time. But even now, it's starting to feel like, you know, when you have a party of people and you have a group of people who literally cannot say, it's bad to attack a man with a hammer in his house unexpectedly because that'll make you lose support in your base. It starts to feel like everything we talk about is in a vacuum. Like even this show, you know, this show, ain't no motherfucking Republicans listening to the Daily Zeitgeist. And if there are, they're, you know, like, not the same as watching Fox News and, like, things like that, right? And so, like, it starts to feel hopeless in a way where it's just like, who are we talking to then? Besides just talking to the people who already agree with us, right? And one day I just hope to know the answer to that, as far as, because like some of the shit, where we are right now is fucking crazy. just really think about it, it's fucking like this dude literally got on national television, was like, there's no such thing as hate speech. There is allowed speech and not allowed speech, and the only not allowed speech is the speech if you get somebody to kill somebody. And I was just like, what? Like, what are you talking about?
He talked about like a broke down player. He's like, hey, hate speech. The only speech they hating is when they hating on you. And you're like, hold on. Yeah. That's not a fucking, like, that wasn't a rhetorical takedown. Like, what are you fucking talking about? Like, crazy. Yeah, you were slick with the order of words there. But that's not, again, and I think more than saying like if it's a vacuum or not, I think it's more about people being absolutely aware of what is going on around them. Because I think another thing that I see that's very common, people have completely retreated from the news. I know so many people who are like, man, I don't know how you do a show like that talking about the news every day. Shit is so fucked up. Yeah, it is. And I'm personally wired in a way that I feel like if I'm telling people about it or I'm talking about it and not at least other people can be aware, and not to say that this is the only source of information, but that like part of the action is getting information to people and describing it in a way that isn't going to paper over it, the existential threats. Like, I'm not over here going to be like, yeah, I'm sure it'll be fine. I'm sure the Republicans will sort it out. Like, that's how they talk on CNN and shit.
Yeah.
You know, like this is a truly like we're looking at a menace like within our country of people who have completely normalized all kinds of hateful rhetoric and violence. And those people are doing everything they can to be in increased positions of power to enact that in like a, like through legislation.
Yeah.
And like, that's what's going on. And I know what you mean. Like, it feels helpless like in the sense of like, we still live in a white supremacist capitalist patriarchy. Sure.
You're right.
Yes.
I think that's the play, is we all have to keep talking about this, but also know that we're talking about these things and making it known. So, like you said, we are aware of what's going on around us.
You have to know when people like that are trying to run for positions of power, or this, or people in your community, your own community, might be flirting with fucking dangerous ideas that have been tailored to them to bring them on board with shit like that. Like, and just knowing, yo, y'all got to know what the fucking stakes are.
You have to take that shit seriously, because there was a time where no one thought Trump was going to get elected, you know, and so you have to take it seriously, like, no matter how small a voice it is at the time, because then it grows to be fucking loud.
Yeah. And what Tucker did there with that little segment, Tucker is such a tricky little boy, because he's so sneaky, because the statement that the only bad speech is like a direct call out to murder people. It does not take that much to get folks to kill other people. People don't need to be told. They do it anyways of their own volition. Nobody got on TV and told this man to break into Nancy Pelosi's house. He concocted that plan all by himself. It takes very little, for example, again, taking this back to like violence against women. All a woman has to do is say no to a man and he will kill her. And it happens every day. It happens all the time. It does not take much to actually, quote, incite violence. A lot of people are ready to act in violent ways. So that soundbite of Tucker's is so dangerous, because it doesn't even take all of that to incite violence. It's the mere suggestions is all it takes to, like, really set that fire off in someone.
Right. I mean, yeah, it's wild how much influence that, you know, a show like his has, when he's not really even saying real shit. It's just like, it's like, I'll give, like, here, welcome to Tucker Carlson Racist Rationalization Hour. Like, I'll help you. I'll give you some sentences that will help you rationalize your thinking and your behavior. And that's what we'll do. And if someone, here's a criticism that somebody might say to you, well, let me tell you why that's bullshit, is basically what the function of his show is. And I think then that's what's super dangerous, because you're just furthering this like radicalization process. But
yeah,
we shall see what happens here.
We shall see. Indeed.
We shall see. Guys, everybody just stay, you know, just stay. Don't get caught slipping. You know what I mean? That's the thing. It's like, disengage from what's happening in your community at your own risk, because like to retreat from your own community and like where you live and like the people around you and not know what's happening or what's at stake, I promise you, you'll have a much harder time like coming to grips with that reality than like trying to stay on top of it in real time. Okay, let's take a quick break and we'll be back with some nice news from Gwyneth Paltrow. You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Now I'd like to introduce you to Meaningful Beauty, the famed skincare brand created by iconic supermodel Cindy Crawford. It's her secret to absolutely gorgeous skin. Meaningful Beauty makes powerful and effective skincare simple, and it's loved by millions of women. It's formulated for all ages and all skin tones and types, and it's designed to work as a complete skincare system, leaving your skin feeling soft, smooth, and nourished. I recommend starting with Cindy's full regimen, which contains all 5 of her best-selling products, including the amazing youth-activating Melon Serum. This next generation serum has the power of melon leaf stem cell technology. It's melon leaf stem cells encapsulated for freshness and released onto the skin to support a visible reduction in the appearance of wrinkles. With thousands of glowing 5-star reviews, why not give it a try? Subscribe today and you can get the amazing Meaningful Beauty System for just $49.95. That includes our introductory 5-piece system, free gifts, free shipping, and a 60-day money-back guarantee. All that available at meaningfulbeauty.com.
And we're back. And, you know, Halloween is over. See you later, October. Mm-hmm. Hello, November, which I guess now means like a lot of people are like, man, fuck Thanksgiving, man. It's Christmas, which I'm fine with that. You know what I mean? Like, I like candy canes and shit. But Gwyneth Paltrow, you know, her whole wellness brand, Goop, they just put out their 20 deuce gift guide this week. And I'm like, Oprah's gift guide, at least there's some shit for like regular people in there. And there's some like fancy shit where you're like, hey, man, ain't nobody putting like wearing truffled socks or whatever the fuck you're trying to push in that thing. But like the Gwyneth Paltrow goop guide is absolute like just over the top luxury nonsense. And right now, if you total up everything in this guide, it costs $900,000.
Yeah.
And I just want to go through a couple of the things that are in here because again, like I said, I cannot picture what it would be like to want any of this shit. First up is the bead joint rolling machine. Okay, this machine right here, this is a $300 joint rolling machine. Now, look, I know you might be like, well, hold on, I fuck with weed.
Hold on a second. Like, hold on now.
tell me something. What's really going on here? So this thing is $300 and it's a fucking like Nespresso machine for joint rolling. You put like prepackaged pods of weed. The descriptions sound mid as fuck with the weed. I'm sorry. But you put a pod in there, press a button with like an empty pre-rolled cone and 20 seconds, it spits out a weak ass joint.
You know, I mean, the thing is the weed and the flower, that's up to the pothead. That's the individual pothead. Right. Gwyneth has no control over what we're smoking.
That's true.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like that wasn't a good example to lead with because I'm kind of like,
I want one.
Really?
My next boyfriend needs to get me one of those.
Not a $300 weed roller.
$300.
Show me you love me and buy me the $300 weed Nespresso.
So much about these luxury items is like the convenience, right? Yeah. It's like you're making an investment to make your life more convenient.
We're going to do this Goop gift guide thing with you. We're going to do it. But you need to know that we are bougie bitches and we love
this. That's fine. However, this is, and my gripe isn't the price or what. It's more like, rolling a joint, like I've been twisting weed my whole life. So yeah, to buy like a $300 machine that looks like it would sit in like a lawyer's office who's like throwing people of color in jail for like weed. It's like, this is how I get down.
Okay, there's like, well, when you put it
a darkness. I'm just saying there's a dark factor to the machine that I look at. I'm like, who's making this $300 like Nespresso weed rolling machine?
Yeah.
But I get what
Let
you mean.
Let me tell you something.
You know, there are potheads out there with no fingers, okay? How do you want them to roll their joints?
Ableism.
Astounding. That's true. You're right.
Look, I'm not even push back on that one. All right, you're right.
Here's what I'll say. Let my cousin Greg out of jail and let him make a weed rolling machine. Charge $500 for that bitch, and I bet you it pop out some better weed joints. I don't care about the price. I just don't want Gwyneth Paltrow selling me weed machine.
Right. I guess that's what it is too. Be like, what you know about weed, Gwen?
Give me some context for I need a little more context for the gift guide. She's curating this list. Are these her items that Goop produced? Or this is just curation?
No. It's like Oprah. It's like Oprah's favorite things. It's curation.
Okay, got it.
Or basically pay to play kind of shit too, because most of those things, when they have gift guides, if you're like an up and coming brand, you'd be like, yo man, if we give them like 10 stacks up front, they'll put us in the fucking thing, which will help a lot.
All right.
So again,
okay, next.
All right. You got to hurry up, man. My truffle socks are starting to get a little wet.
Yeah, truffle socks are starting to itch a little bit. Okay,
I need to take these things off.
Wait, where is this Daily Mail article? Okay, there's a couple other ones. There is, this one right here. This is a $28,500 black leather tufted chair, which says it can go in a living room or a sex dungeon. And it's like a bespoke
chair, for sure.
That's a bespoke sex dungeon chair for $28,500. Again, I'm not sure who the audience is, but that's what they got. Are y'all in the market for a $28,000 sex chair?
No, and
look, I'm not trying to get in your business, but that seems like a high ticket item.
I just don't have the storage. I don't have the space to put it. I live in a studio. Where would I put it?
I'm gonna be real with y'all. Not even the storage. I'm very confident in myself, but I ain't got $28,000 dick, y'all. I don't think I can fuck on that and be like, we made this worth it, man. We gonna have to be fucking on that for a lifetime.
Because like, you
$28,000 like, you know, for a sex chair? Nah.
Yeah.
Give me the $300 weed roller.
the weed roller does not sound so bad anymore.
No.
Yeah, the weed roller sounds great. The weed roller.
Okay, what do you think about a Gucci dog shit bag holder? $420.
I kind of love it. It's camp.
It's camp.
It's camp.
It's camp. It's camp.
It's like, listen, you know, not something you need. It's something you want.
Yeah.
You
I
know?
Want it.
Which
right,
is
right,
what
right.
this gift guide is.
Also, Miles, you know there are some black ass aunties out there who would have this shit.
Oh, they would
right
love
now.
This shit.
Oh, totally.
Yes. Even though you tell them, you're like, but come on, you know how problematic they are with black people, da da da. They're like, I know, but that logo, that monogram.
But that logo.
When they see me at church with that, they gonna know.
Ooh.
I said, look, I know, I'm not gonna get in the way. All right, how about this? A Louis Vuitton surfboard. Y'all need that?
How much is it?
How much? Yeah.
$2,400.
Oh, I mean,
I don't know. What do surfboards run for?
I mean, yeah. What's the going like, price?
Like 100?
Maybe. I don't know.
Like 100, right?
I don't
right?
know how much it goes
I
for.
I actually don't know.
I agree. It's like, who's buying these things?
Yeah.
It looks like it's, right. It's more like, we're not looking at like a Price is Right thing, but I'm like, if I saw some dude who like pulled up with
board.
A Louis Vuitton
skimboard.
That
looks like a boogie board.
It looks like a skit, like, you know, the one that you don't quite surf with, but you see the dudes just skimming on mm-hmm. the shore with.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's, but hey, do you? What's another one? Okay. How about this? 239 silk baguette holder. It's a silk bag to hold one loose baguette in.
Oh, that's
fucking with this?
So good.
Hold on, bro. Let me tell you.
Just
I'm not fucking
baguette.
With that. I'm not fucking with it for the baguette, but you put some of that Cheesecake Factory brown bread in that shit.
Right.
Boy, I'll be walking down the street happy as hell with my.
Oh, that's funny.
Right.
I just love it.
I mean, it's reusable, it's eco-friendly.
It's eco-friendly. Do it keep the bread warm? Do it keep
but
the bread
I just
warm?
Love, again,
right. Is
can,
it insulated?
Can y'all help me understand who's the person like, damn, you know how it is when I go get my one loose baguette. Just wish I had a silk bag for that. That's why I'm like, I just love the idea with this one of someone.
Yes.
Like if I saw someone with it, I'm like, look, I don't know you, but I want to know more. I want to know more.
Oh, that's
this
good.
Is great. Hold on. Is that a
that's
car
a good one.
In the motherfucker?
Yes. This is another one. A $250,000 vintage Ford Bronco.
Damn.
For who? It's like, yo, hey, do you not have any idea who your partner is, but you have so much money that you're looking at this gift guide earnestly? Then hey, why don't you throw $250K at this Ford Bronco?
That's true.
Listen, I'm not going to lie to you, Miles.
Yeah, I can't afford this stuff, but I want to be friends with the people who can, you know?
I mean,
look,
yeah.
I mean, that's our if society's taught us anything, that's our only way to the top.
Our only way to be happy. Like,
I want people to know, oh shit, I was about to, because you can't see this. So I want people to know, I was about to say, this looks like a fucking Bronco without a roof. And I see it is actually a fucking Bronco.
Oh yeah, it's a legit vintage Bronco.
Vintage Ford Bronco.
I like how you're like, gotcha, Gwyneth. That's a roofless Bronco.
And then she's like, it is. That's what it is.
Here's where's this other one? Oh, the cheapest item in her list was this one, neon colored toilet paper for $18.
That is so funny and random.
Let me tell you something.
Random.
Let me tell you something.
Things.
I would buy that. I would buy that.
There's part of me that can't like separate like what that's used for and like the neon colors and like this just is like a little out there.
Let me tell you something, man. When you live in this bidet life, you just need a little something just to patch you.
Oh
dry.
Yeah. Well, that's what I'm saying. I'm living bidet. I've been bidet life. You know what I mean? So for me, those papers, those are just dabbers. You know what I mean?
Those are just dabbers. Dying. And let me tell you something. My ass deserves some colored dabbers. You know, it deserves some colored dabbers.
I get with that. How about this? This is a $75 9-pound bag of shit.
No.
Is it manure?
Okay.
Nuggets?
I'm sorry, it's called free range goat, horse, chicken, and cow manure.
Artisanal manure.
I'm screaming.
It is artisanal manure.
Okay, now I'm raising eyebrows. Now
you buying straight shit.
Take us back to the weed roller. Take us back.
Yeah.
It's literally a bag of shit.
God.
Wow. Gwyneth.
Yeah. And then like so here's just like a couple of the other things. One of the like the biggest ticket item on here or one of the biggest ticket items was a like African safari. Okay. On a private jet for 10 days. Let me just read you the whole description of that one. They say it's a 10 private jet safari experience through Roar Africa. 10 days, $135,000 per person. Every element of this trip is Hold on, let me keep going. Every element of this trip is extraordinary. With our takeoff, you get a private jet with 10 private suites, et cetera, et cetera. And then you go do all this like white savior shit and like look at Africa from like a very, right, you know, safe distance and only luxury hotels. And you're like, I've been to Africa. I know what's going on type vibes. The thing that really is like wild about this, they say this is a carbon neutral safari.
And you took a private jet to get there.
And you helicopter around all kinds of places and like drive distances. And on their website, the way they put it is like, see, the way we do it is we calculate all the carbon and then we give money to groups that we realize through that funding offsets that amount of carbon.
Wow.
But at the end of the day, it doesn't feel like they're trying to do much else except to be like, and then we give some money away, too.
See, but this is why people say we have to eat the rich.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, shit, yeah, like this.
Gwen's just doing exactly stuff. She's just saying words and mm-hmm doing stuff.
Right.
Yeah.
While they walk by with their silk baguette holders.
With shit bags.
And when there's $75 bags of shit.
Yeah, not, yeah, yeah. Yeah, not shit bags. Bags of shit.
There we go.
Bags of shit.
Yeah.
There we go.
Hold on. You bought a $75 bag full of shit?
The shit bags are in that Gucci fucking. Yeah,
that's right. You're right. You're right. You're right.
Yeah,
that's the shit bags.
And the bags of shit.
Oh, my goodness.
Dying. The highlight of this was the weed roller.
Yeah.
Weed roller for sure. The thing is, I don't think those. Then here's the thing. If you care about the flower you smoke, I think you're beholden to whatever they're pre-packaging. Like when you use like Keurig.
Like Nespresso. Like, yeah. Like the Nespresso.
So that's what I'm saying. That's the problem there is like it's a pod that like, that's what I'm saying. It's not, you can't be like, oh, well, I got my own.
You can't put your machine own to do his thing. Right.
So is Gwen growing weed?
I don't know. That's the hard thing to figure out. Like, I was trying to find out who was behind it, but there's no like about us section on their website.
That's not a good sign.
I'm sure you can just, we can find out who's doing something. But yeah, the capsules.
That like, weed that is trash. You know that weed trash.
Because it's going to be so dry and old by the time you get through all of them, right? I'm assuming.
Right. Yeah, oh yeah, 100%. I mean, like, they, just, like, the percentages of the THC, I'm like, that shit is going to get me high.
This is like, weed smoking for, like, West Hills housewives, Calabasas housewives. Yeah. That's what it's for sure.
And they'll probably, like, yeah, after, like, 2 weeks use, I'll be like, I just need to give it away. Just, like,
yeah.
Lost the excitement of it. Now, bring my $28,000... Fuck Shay's lounge over here. Immediately at the double.
Too much.
Man.
I tell you, the thing that was worth it most for me was give me that $250,000 Bronco, y'all. I want that.
Okay, give you that Bronco and get me, and I'll take that bag Bronco full of shit. I'll take the bag full of shit and
the bag full of shit.
Oh, yeah. And the baguette holder. Like, people wouldn't fuck with me if you saw me cruising around with a silk black silk baguette holder, I would be like, I don't know what he's into.
I'd be like, look at my man. Let me walk around with that shit.
Yeah, people be like, hey, Olive Garden. You styling, bro. That's what the people be saying. Yeah. Like, I know, man. I know. I see you.
I know.
My silk baguette holder.
Pass out Olive Garden breadsticks to everybody.
Just tossing them out. Well, Diosa and Mala, thank you so much for joining us on the Daily Zeitgeist. It's been such a pleasure. Where can people find you both and follow you and, importantly, listen to your work and all that?
So you can tune in to Locatora Radio on iHeartRadio or wherever you listen to your podcast. We're on Apple. We're on Spotify. You can follow us across social media platforms at Locatora_radio. And I'm at Mala_Munoz.
And I'm at VSFM.
And visit our website, locatoraradio.com.
There it is. And is there a tweet or some other work of social media that you've been liking?
Not social media, but I just watched Barbarian, the horror film on HBO Max, and it was so good. You know, the plot is this woman goes to like an Airbnb and realizes it was double booked, someone is already there. And she decides to stay the night anyway. And so it's just so good. There's lots of twists and turns. Like, you don't know where it's going. And it makes you, like, question, like, who's the real monster here?
Ooh. Yeah.
10 out of 10.
Very good.
Shout out to my homie who played the...
Hey.
I just said...
Okay,
yeah, he was on the show.
No spoilers.
He was on the show on Monday. Michael Patrick Davis.
Yeah. Yeah, that's my homie.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Amazing.
Anyway.
Very cool.
Nothing here. We won't say anything else. I'm not going to say anything. It was so funny, though. We were talking to him about interviews he did. He was in an interview where someone was like, please explain your character and like what it means in the movie. Like, and they're like, for people who have never seen the film.
No.
And they're like, yeah, 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 yeah.
Yeah.
Really not what is going on. Okay, anyway. Any others? Any other notables?
Yeah, I was going to say right now I'm loving this Twitter account, Liza Minnelli Outlives. Do you guys follow? My favorite Twitter account. So follow Liza Minnelli Outlives. Every time someone dies or something ends, they tweet Liza Minnelli has outlived all of Kanye's contracts, for example. Who died recently? There was like an old white guy that died. His contracts died. Who died recently? There was an old white guy.
Leslie Jordan.
Leslie Jordan.
Jerry Lee Lewis. Liza Minnelli has outlived Jerry Lee Lewis. Every time someone dies, that's all they tweet. It's so funny. Follow them.
That's funny. I love that. Love that.
Jaquise, man, thank you so much for coming on and helping me co-host today. Where can people find you and follow you? And what's the tweet that you like, man?
You can always find me in these streets, everybody. Also, Comedian Feud. We got a new one coming out, November 5th at Dynasty Typewriter. It's a special show. It's going to be a big one, y'all. It's a big one. We got Paul F. Tompkins, Carl Tart, Lauren Lapkus, Sam Sanders, Novena Carmel, Joseph Fink, and Jeffrey Craner from Morning at the Night Vale. It's going to be a big-ass show. I'm hosting it. Come out to it. Dynasty Typewriter, November 5th, 7:30. Go on my Instagram. You can get the tickets. If it's not sold out, I don't know. But... at Jaquise Neal on everything. And also December 5th, Comedian View going back to Elysian, is normal home. It's going to be a big show as well. So, yeah, check that out. A tweet, I'm famously not on Twitter, but I do follow something on Instagram, which is Black Twitter Threads. I got a couple that made me laugh. This is from at Yasmin, I don't know, fuck it. Went on a walk and I saw an orange leaf on the ground. I went to step on it to hear the satisfying crunch, but it was a butterfly. Oh, shit. That shit killed me. And then, that is horrible. And then Rihanna just released some new music. You know what I'm saying? Lift Me Up. Beautiful, heartfelt anthem. But before it came out, everybody was expecting to, shake their ass and, pop and lock them knees. And so when it was an inspirational song, motherfuckers was like, what? So there's this tweet. With Lift Me Up, Rihanna remembers the late Chadwick Boseman. And then it says, y'all. And this is the tweet.
Jesus, what? I can't get jiggy with this shit.
It's the clip from Next Friday when the motherfucker, the African dude come in. What the fuck is this?
I can't
get jiggy with this shit. And I was like, that's so true. Motherfuckers was like, what the fuck is this? that shit cracked me up, man. So that's what it is, y'all.
Let's see. Some tweets that I like. One of them is from Halloween. It's from at Ben Meckler. It's just a house, like, from Halloween that has a sign. Like, it's decorated. It just says, sorry, no candy. And right next to it, it says, vote Rick Caruso for mayor.
And I'm like, yeah. I saw that one.
That feels about right. Also, George the Cat at George the Cat tweeted, maybe instead of a check mark, it can be a little boot. Like the one that you paid $20 a month to lick. let them know. And then chart data, letting you know, about the charts and what's happening on the music charts. And this is from at chart data tweeted, Mariah Carey's All I Want for Christmas Is You has re-entered the top 200 on US iTunes on Halloween. So, y'all, it's about that time already.
Yeah.
It's already bubbling up for that shit. You can find me at Miles of Gray on Twitter and Instagram. Check Jack and I out on our basketball podcast, Miles and Jack Got Mad Boosties. You can also check Sophia Alexandra and I talking about 90 Day Fiancé on our other podcast, 420 Day Fiancé. And also check us out at Daily Zeitgeist on Twitter, at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. Got a Facebook fan page and a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes. There it is. Thank you so much. Where you can check out all the things we talked about, as well as the song we write out on. We're going to go out today. I think, just back to basics. T-shirt by Migos. One of my favorite Takeoff verses is in T-shirt. Rest in peace to you, Takeoff, 28 years old. Man, shit is fucking wild. Like I said, the Daily Zeitgeist is a production of iHeartRadio. So for more podcasts, check out Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you get podcasts. It's there. All right, until next time, we'll be back later to tell you what's trending. We'll see you then. Bye.
Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. A new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
You know that feeling when you walk into your home, take a deep breath, and feel new? Well, that's what it's like to use Clorox Scentiva. Because Clorox Scentiva smells like coconut, cleans like Clorox, and feels like energy. It'll elevate any cleaning routine to not just clean, but also make every room smell like a tropical coconut getaway. Discover how Clorox Scentiva's powerful clean and refreshing scents can transform your space. Get yours in coconut or other fabulous scents at a nearby retail store.